Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2 and reading verses 41 to 52. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, this passage that we read this morning forms a kind of a bridge in terms of Luke's account of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ between the infancy of the Lord Jesus Christ and his public ministry. In other words, not much is told us about his early childhood all the way up to 30 when he entered the ministry. A long number of years, a lot longer than his ministry lasted, you might remember. I mean, he was there for 3.5 years. But these 29 years, we might say, 30 years from his birth to the beginning of his ministry, not a whole lot is said. But this kind of gives you a link. But it's not just a link. It's really a pattern. It's really, as I put it, his way of life. This is what he continually did. This is what he was about. This is how he conducted himself. And so this one passage enlightens for us how the Lord Jesus Christ conducted his life. And in that, of course, is a wonderful reminder to us of how it is our life is to be conducted. However many years God gives us, how are we going to pursue life? Not in terms of what goals am I going to reach. I mean, Jesus had goals, absolutely. But it wasn't that when he got to those times in his life, now he was doing God's will, his Father's will. But no, everything about his life was his Father's will. I mean, that's what we confess, that we're not our own. We belong body and soul to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't give portions of our lives to the Lord. We don't say there are certain times that we are serving Him, but then we go back doing our own thing, and then we do something more for the Lord, then we go, no, for me to live is Christ, says Paul. For me to live is Christ. And for Christ to live was certainly to be about His Father's business. I mean, in a sense, that's the Lord's equivalent of us saying, for me to live is Christ. Christ would say, for me to live is to do my Father's will. To be about my Father's business. Everything about life revolves around God. Otherwise, as Ecclesiastes says, is chasing after the wind. It's simply wasting of time. Not that we're not accomplishing anything, but I'm saying it's not for the Lord's glory. It's not for His purposes. We don't fit in to what He is doing, the big picture that God is working at. We go off and do our own thing. But that's not the way to be a faithful servant of God. God doesn't need your spare time. God doesn't want that. No, God redeemed you for Himself to be His child. And therefore, we have to echo the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our life ought to be described as being about our Father's business. And so this passage then, as I said, forms a wonderful link and a blueprint of how it is that we are to conduct ourselves. Well, the first way then to seek the Father's business is seeking His glory. I mean, that's what the Word of God says, does it not? Whatever you do, whether it's eating or even drinking, in other words, however minute those activities may seem, they cannot be put outside of this context of doing it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. Do it with God in mind. See it connected. As connected with God. Because as I say, again, going back to Ecclesiastes, a life that is disconnected with God is what it describes as life under the sun, which is vanity of vanities. Anything that we do that is detached from God is wasting of time. It does not honor God at all. So, if we're going to be about our Father's business, then we certainly need to acknowledge Him in our life. And one of the ways that we acknowledge Him is to worship Him, is to seek His glory. And this is what we find in this passage, that Joseph and Mary went at the feast of the Passover. They went to Jerusalem, and when he was 12 years old, that he went with them. Not that he didn't go for the other times, but that children went, as it were, in their own right at 12 years old. I mean, they went with their parents before, but now they go in their own right. And so they took the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, later on in the Gospels, we are reminded of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ attended the synagogue, as was His custom. That was His regular pattern. If you and I are going to honestly say that I'm about my Father's business, then let it never be that we give lip service to the worship of God. In other words, we might be engaged in a lot of other things, but when we don't worship God with his people, with all of our heart and all of our strength, if we don't find enjoyment doing that, then really there's something wrong. I mean, there's something wrong. Has anything diminished in what God has done for you in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Has anything diminished in terms of God's providence over you, over every aspect of your life? Does God ignore certain portions of your life and just say, I'm only going to help him or her when they're serving me doing this and that? I mean, doesn't he watch over us 24 hours a day? He never sleeps. He doesn't take vacations. He doesn't show favorites and say, oh, it's only him or it's only her. I'll get to her, you know, when I have time, but I have more important people to take care of right now. No, he doesn't. I mean, we get stretched, don't we? Caring for other people, caring for friends, families, children. We just don't have enough arms sometimes. But that's never the case with God. He is intimately involved in each and every one of us. So how fitting then that if we are cognizant of that, and again, if we're not careful, we receive all of those things and we don't return thanks. I mean, look at the lepers. Where are they? Where's all the others? They never came back. They were healed, but they never came back. It's, let's get on with our life. No, we have to return thanks, and we have to do it, as I said, with all of our heart. Because God loves you even as he loves his Son. God cares for you even as he cares for his Son. There's no one in this world that loves you like that. But he does. And therefore, he is worthy of our praise. He deserves our praise. And so we must never be lethargic about worship. I mean, yes, attend, but attend with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. I mean, that's what Jesus says. Isaiah says about the Israelites. They attended worship. Oh, absolutely, they attended. But there was no truth to it. Their heart was not in it. And God said, I hate that. I can't look upon that. I can't listen to what you're saying when you go and do those things, because your heart is not in it at all. It's a perfunctory thank you and walk on. No, worship has to come from the heart. Sometimes people put it down. They think, "Oh, I don't need it. You know, I can read the Bible myself. I can, you know, I'm able to read a book or something like that." Is that all it's about? I mean, couldn't Jesus do those things? If the Son of God went regularly to worship his Father, to be about his Father's business, but bringing glory to him, we need to even more so, don't we? Of course, we receive so much because it is a means of grace as well, obviously. But everything that he does for us needs to be reflected in grateful thanks. And so, not just being attending worship, but to do so with all of our heart. I mean, people can sense that, you know, when people come into our midst, they can sense whether the congregation is, you know, not necessarily great singers or whatever, but they can sense whether there's your heart and soul is in it, in the congregation, or whether we're just going through the motions. We're told that there was a practice of Mary and Joseph, and as I said, they took the Lord Jesus with them. And that brings up two aspects of glorifying, worshiping God. One is that parents need to bring their children. You know, parents can be rightfully concerned for their children, for their well-being. And so whether it's, I don't know, school, whether it's lessons or whether it's whatever it is, they make sure that children turn up, that they go there. Because children can, you know, obviously sometimes don't feel like going, but we want to take them, right? Well, how high on our priority should it be for us to bring them into God's house? To hear the worship of God's people. For them to look around at them, what are these adults getting all excited for? I mean, look at the struggles that they face. Look at their ailments and stuff like that. And yet, they're there every week, and they're singing with all of their heart, thanking God, and you can see it in their faces. I mean, that is a witness that children can pick up on. That we can communicate to them how wonderful our God is and how we love Him with all of our heart and mind and strength. That's part of the Father's business, isn't it? To be about my Father's business. To tell the younger generation. But not just to tell them, but to show them. That they can see it with their own eyes. That it can dawn on them. It can infiltrate their hearts and minds. That this is the way life is to be lived. As I said, there are so many other things that we're so interested in and concerned about our children that we put all kinds of effort into it. I'm saying, what about the Father's business relative to your children? And so they brought him. And he went. Not always easy, but we have to persist. This is sowing those wonderful seeds that they need to have this foretaste of the gospel, to see it in action, not just in abstract words, but they see it in their parents and other parents. And they see what impact it's having upon them. And you know, in the Old Testament, when they got together, I mean, they had, you know, adults and women, and even mentions children that were in their arms they brought them. Because they wanted their children to take in and understand those things. And you remember the people brought their children to the Lord Jesus Christ, the infants, in their arms. And the disciples thought that was a waste of time. And Jesus was angry with them. Now this is the Father's business. Because after all, did He not make a covenant with the believers and their children? He cares for them. And the other thing that we find in here is not only did they go, but their relatives went. That's why they didn't know that Jesus was missing, because they thought they were with the other relatives, with friends. That we help and encourage them. You know, sometimes we may have things get in the way and we think, we won't go. But it impacts other people as well. And so when you're not there, there's a void. And so it's important to be with God's people. I mean, that's why Hebrews says, does it not? It warns us against that. It says, forsake not the gathering together of the saints, as is the manner of some. So even then they were having problems with it. You know, people might say, well, it's not sinful not to go if it's some. Well, yes, it's not sinful. But isn't that part of our Father's business? Do we not want to be in the midst of God's people, witnessing and encouraging one another? No, God lays out for us biblically that we're to worship Him. We're to keep the Sabbath day holy. We're to attend the means of grace. He's provided that for us for a reason. I mean, He's provided food and we say, thank you very much, and we eat it very regularly, day after day after day after day. He's provided us with spiritual food. But somehow I think that we can get away with it, that we don't have to. But that's short-sightedness. God wants us to be strong spiritually so that we can be instruments of righteousness in His hands. But if those instruments are weak, if those instruments are blunt and they're not sharp, then how is the Lord going to use them as instruments of righteousness? No, we're not to question God's provisions for us and say, well, I really don't need that. Like God's armor that He gives to us. Oh, I really don't really need that. Oh, I really don't need to pray. I really don't need to study. I don't really need. Well, that's really questioning God's wisdom. It's saying, yeah, He's provided them, but I didn't really need it. No, God provided it because you need it. Because you need it. And so God has provided for us regular times that He graces us with His presence, calls us into His presence so that He can wrap His redemptive arms around us and remind us that He's in control and that you're safe in His arms. And that whatever you see, as we've read from Psalm 46, whatever you see in this world, however disturbing it might be, that He has you in His hands. You need that. I need that. So let us resolve in our hearts and minds to be about our Father's business. And to seek His glory and honor. To worship Him. To walk in ways that we can be strong. To serve Him. Ready to serve Him. He has to be the focus of your heart and life. People ought to see that, as Mary and Joseph did about the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand that. Because they're, what are you doing here? I mean, You say, well, why are you surprised? Isn't this what it's all about? I have to be about my Father's business. This is why I came. And she didn't, as I said, she didn't understand. But of course, with the fullness of God's revelation, we do understand. But also, we are to seek His will. To be about our Father's business. We cannot be about our Father's business if we don't know what His business is. If we don't know how it operates, what it is that we're to do, what the goals are. And so what do we find? When they go back, they don't know that the Lord Jesus Christ is not with them. They think He's with the relatives, with the children. And they go a day's journey, and assuming when they go to bed, they go looking for Him, and they can't find Him. And so they have to travel a whole day back and then look for Him. So there's been 2 days. One day they traveled. The other day they have to come back, look for Him. They found Him in the temple. And so what was He doing? Well, we might say He was studying. He was studying. Found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. He was instructed. Now we have to be very careful that we don't play off His divinity against His humanity and say, well, what did He have to study? He knows everything. No, he the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He had to learn. And so He gave Himself to learning. Learning God's Word. Understanding God's plan. What was the Old Testament about? What was it? What was God doing? After all, He came to fulfill that plan. And so He learned. And so He's listening to them. And asking questions. So we have to be very careful. I mean, I get it on levels of teaching as well. You know, students can come in. You deliver the lecture. They walk out. They've done their part. That's it. Did they learn anything? I don't know. Did they? I mean, I've had people, not that I should be speaking out of college, but I've had people, they sit down, no notes. They just sit there. You know they're not really taking it all in. They can't possibly take it all in without making any notes at all. And then they get up and leave. That's not learning. That's just putting in the time because you're required to. They're not always there to do that either. Learning is because we want to learn. We want to understand. And so there has to be this dialogue. There has to be this interaction. You hear things and then you ask questions so that you can put all of those things together, that you can see how they interact with one another. That's being about our Father's business. Knowing the ins and outs. And why is that important? Because the devil is tricky. The devil is subtle. And so he comes in very craftily, creeps in, and takes some of the things that you have said and he twists them and he leads you off so that you're not doing your Father's business anymore. In fact, you're opposing the Father's business. You're saying things that are not in line with the Word of God and with God's will. So you're not helping at all. You're helping the enemy, as it were. And we experience that in the divisions that we have in the churches. How can we resist that? By understanding what the Word of God says. I mean, that's one of the challenges that the eldership and leaders have in a church, is to watch people, to guard people, because there's always people that want to come in and they have an agenda and they have some kind of views they want to put out and get people following them and being their disciples, as it were. There's always that. There's always movements in the church trying to get people enlisted, as it were. And so we have to guard that. Not that we want people to follow what we say and our particular ideas. No. But what the Word of God says, what the church has approved, what the churches have stood with for years and centuries. Not going in a new direction. But our Father's business. And so here was the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. And listening to these teachers and asking them questions so that they could understand clearly and he could understand clearly. So that all those errors that the devil might try to bring in, we have answers for. After all, he did have to do that, did he not? Before he entered the ministry, he had that times of temptation from the devil and the devil trying to twist God's words to get him to do certain things. But it wasn't his Father's business to do those things. And so what does he have to say to the devil in those times? Was it not? It is written. It is written. It is written. That's what you and I need. Not that the eldership doesn't have a job to do. We do. But the congregation ought to be equipped through instruction, so that when they do hear things that seem out of whack in terms of what people are trying to say, we do say, but it is written. And not go off on a tangent with them, or even cause division in the church. But come to the leaders that God has given to us, and receive instruction, and ask questions, as the Lord Jesus Christ did. He didn't ask questions to show how clever he was. Sometimes that's what people do. They raise their hands to ask a question to try and trip you up, to show how great they are. But no, that wasn't the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ asking questions, but to clarify, to understand, everyone can see what this truth is. So don't be hesitant to ask questions. Don't think it's not worth asking, it's not that important. We should never say that about God's word. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But if we have holes in our understanding of God's word, then we are vulnerable. We're vulnerable. And so to be about our Father's business is to be instructed, is to have a hunger and thirst after God's word, after righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That ought to be a characteristic of our life. And there's an intensity about that. As I said, his mother and father said, "What are you doing to us? I mean, you cause all this anxiety, you know, being here." But that's how important this activity was. He wasn't watching the time and saying, "Is it over now? Can we go?" No. He was there. Not that he didn't care about his parent, but what is being stressed is the intensity with which the Lord Jesus Christ learned these things, so that he might be thoroughly equipped for every good work, even the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ And the passage ends with the aspect about the Father's business being accomplished by seeking his holiness. We're told that he went back with Mary and Joseph to Nazareth, and he dwelt with them, and he listened to them. He was subject to them, and he grew, increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. So, being about our Father's business is to act according to his word in every area of our life. So, when we're young, then we ought to act in ways that God wants us to act, because the Bible does address children to obey your parents. And so he obeyed his parents. It's not wasted time. Is preparation. Why was David such a great king? Because God equipped him when he was taking care of the sheep. And he did it with all of his heart and all of his strength. And when the sheep were in trouble, he didn't run away in the other direction. He cared for the sheep. He learned what it was to be a good shepherd. When we're obedient to our parents, we learn what it means to walk with God and in obedience to him. Even when we don't understand why he's leading us in this direction, even though we don't understand why he allows the things that are happening to us to happen to us. But where do we learn how to do that except in our own homes? When we have parents that tell us things to do that we don't like that they're telling us to do those things. And sometimes we don't understand why they're telling us and restricting us on certain things. But that's where we learn to be obedient. Not conditionally when you agree with them. That's not obedience. But even when you don't understand. That you trust those that God has put in your over you as parents. Because if we can't do it there, we can't do it at work, we can't do it in the church, we can't do it anywhere. We're not useful instruments in his hands. Because we do things the way we want to do them. And that was the theme of Judges, wasn't it? Everyone did right what was in his right in his own eyes. That's not discipleship. And so the Lord Jesus Christ learned that. And said, listen to Mary, listen to Joseph. He listened to other authority figures. Never compromising, of course, God's word that he knew, but showing due respect. And he grew in stature with his father and with men. Not that they all agreed with him, you understand. Not that they said, oh, he's such a wonderful fellow and everything like that. After all, they did crucify the Lord of glory. But they could never point fingers at him. But he wasn't about his father's business. As I said, not a big spotlight is put on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ so that year after year we have what he did and the things that he accomplished, even though there were books that were written, not by the apostles, but other people wrote them, probably say they were fiction, but all kinds of things, that, oh, you did this miracle, you did that miracle. But no, the scriptures, we do not have that kind of information. But we do know that the Lord Jesus Christ was busy about his Father's business. And he was fully equipped in due time to do his Father's will for our benefit. People of God, whatever age we are, let us be about our Father's business so that we can honor him, that we can glorify him, that we can obey him, that we can be a blessing to all those around us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we are your children. And you have made us joint heirs with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, of your kingdom. And our Father in heaven, we want to be instruments, useful instruments, good instruments of righteousness. And so, Father, we pray that you would indeed grant us the resolve, the strength to pursue your business, to understand your business, to love your business, to promote that business. And so, Father, we pray that you would indeed bless our families, bless our children, bless our church and all the ministries of it and each and every member so that we can function in such a way that there is the environment in which both young and old continue to grow and to love and to know you day by day. Our Father, hear our prayers and bless us further this day of rest, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As a stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 581.